Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode in our series, Let's Open a Bottle, The World of Spanish Wine, brought to you by Brian Spain Domain. Today, we are going to talk about one of the most exciting wine regions in Spain right now, Dio Bierzo. Now, let's get something straight here from the beginning. Despite their recent rise in popularity, the fact is wines from Bierzo, especially the red wine made from the Mencia grape, have been around for a long time. They may look like new kids on the block, but that's far from the truth. And the difference between then and now is their role, their reputation, and of course the quality of their wine. In the past, and we're talking maybe 25 years now, they were pretty easy to find, but for different reasons. You usually found them in supermarkets, often sort of on the bottom shelf, where they represented what was generally considered to be the low-end wines, the inexpensive stuff. You could get a bottle for a euro or two, or even 200 pesetas. We're talking that long ago. But there were also reliable wines. Nothing outstanding, nothing earth-shattering, but good for your meal. Sort of a good way to accompany your meal, which is an important element in Mediterranean dining. Back then, they were simply known as Bierzos. No one really talked about Mencia. And that is because until recently in Spain, most people didn't refer to wine by the grape variety, the way they might in other countries, but rather by the region. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that most people didn't even know what grape variety went into these wines. So it was a different way of doing things. And in the case of Bierzo, well, that name comes from an area. It's called a comarca, and it's a big one too. And it's located in the northwest corner of the province of León, which is in the region of Castilla y León, and it goes by that name. It's actually known as El Bierzo, and it's comprised of several valleys sort of wedged between these mountains, which surround it basically from all sides. El Bierzo is a historic region. It's got some beautiful towns and a very pretty place to see and visit. But it's sort of a special place in the sense that to the west of this region or of this area, you have the region of Galicia. And this is important because El Bierzo is sometimes considered to be more Galician than it is from León. And many of the locals will still speak Galician. And the accent there and some of the customs will seem more Galician than Castilian. But the fact is, in actuality, El Bierzo is sort of a hybrid of the two regions. And therefore, its people, on one hand, feel different from either one, and yet at the same time, a part of both, if you know what I mean. And the same could be said for its climate, milder than the surrounding areas. It picks up some of the dampness of Galicia, and at the same time, the heat and dryness of Castile. And this sort of unique mix makes El Bierzo ideal for all kinds of produce. And you'd think that anything can and will grow there. But especially fruit, like apples and pears, they stand out. The region's also well known for its red peppers. But at the end of the day, it's the wine, let's be honest here, that has really put this area, this comarca, on the map of the world of viniculture. The main grape is by far the red variety, Mencia. This is a local grape, and it has often, or it had at least at one time, often been cited as coming from the same family as Cabernet Franc, and some used to say that it had something to do with the fact the Cistercian monks who traveled through this land on their way to Santiago de Compostela, the destination of the historic Camino de Santiago pilgrimage, had brought it to the region. That doesn't seem to be the case, at least the Cabernet Franc part. I'll tell you more about that in a second. But the part about the Camino de Santiago is true. Some of the members of the clergy of these monks would stay on in the area and establish monasteries. And that's because throughout the Camino, there are monasteries. And we all know that where there's a monastery, there's also a healthy vineyard. And this relationship between the Camino de Santiago and several wine regions should not be underestimated. We will see that time and time again, there is an undeniable quote-unquote coincidence between a string of notable wine regions, some very notable wine regions, and their location along the Camino. But in the case of El Bierzo, the existence of vineyards has been recorded there since long before that, when the Romans established themselves in the area, in part to engage in heavy-duty gold and silver mining in the nearby hills known as Las Médulas. They employed the environmentally very unfriendly technique of hydraulic mining, which is just basically what they would do is flush out the land from the mountains in search of these precious metals. So they pretty much mauled the mountains. I mean, by their own admission, it was known as mountain destruction, but in Latin. 2,000 years later, the resulting landscape is so strikingly beautiful and unusual at the same time that it is now a World Heritage Site listed by UNESCO. So that's a very ironic tribute to what today would have been regarded as an environmental catastrophe caused by humans. Now it's a pretty big tourist attraction. Oh well. In any event, the Romans settled there, and just like the monks, we know that they tended to ensure or guarantee that wherever they settled, they would be well supplied with wine. And we know from writers of the stature of Pliny the Elder and others that they did have wine here because they mentioned wine in this region, which is today El Bierzo. In fact, a number of Spain's historic wine regions get their roots, if you'll excuse the pun, all the way back when this land was called Hispania, and it formed a part of the Roman Empire. And the practice of winemaking continued over the years and throughout the Middle Ages. As I mentioned before, the Camino de Santiago was an important factor here. It was also important to realize that El Bierzo is basically at the edge of the most natural entrance, the most natural way to access the region of Galicia, thereby making it a favorite thoroughfare for pilgrims, especially thirsty pilgrims, and that favored the production of wine. Then in the late 19th century, the phylloxera plague came and did its usual damage, decimating the vineyards. You're basically going to hear me say this over and over every time I talk about a wine region. Production was slow to return in the first half of the 20th century. It obviously didn't completely disappear. And the locals needed their wine. We are talking about Spain here. But it was a far cry from what it had been and what it would become today. In 1989, the region became a DO in its own right. But for many years, or at least for those first 10 or 15 years, it survived mainly as an economical wine, the kind I was telling you about before. It wasn't bad. In fact, it was a good value, but it didn't get the fame it deserved, and there was so much more you could do with it. And all that was needed was someone to do something about it. And as the Spanish wine revolution was taking place in other regions, there was a growing interest in bringing it to El Bierzo. This was boosted by the influence of several outsiders, so to speak, looking to make the difference. And it wasn't just any outsider. You see, a few years before, there were several individuals in Spain bent on exploring and discovering the greatest virtues that some of these regions had to offer. They hoped to sort of harness that traditionally powerful red wine that was made in many of these places, and at the same time enhance their potential in other ways. And one of these breakthrough winemakers was a man named Álvaro Palacios. We will talk about him several times. And he came from a family with a long history in the business. They were from La Rioja, but that's not why he's famous. What he did was go to a tiny region in the south of Catalonia, in the province of Tarragona, and this region is known as Priorat, or Priorato. And he went there in the late 80s, and he basically just blew the doors down on conventional winemaking thinking. Interestingly enough, the other region he had in mind for this great mission of his was El Bierzo. And he and his family saw a lot of similarities between Priorato and El Bierzo, especially the type of soil that was there, as well as the huge potential for the grapes that were grown, and in this case, the Mencia. So around the year 2000, they got down to work. Their initiative got a lot of attention outside of the region, but they weren't the only ones by any stretch of the imagination. Others, many of whom were local winemakers looking for a new way out, feverishly came up with new and exciting wines, and their efforts have paid off. Now, the El Bierzo is one of the hottest regions in Spain, and it has become one of the most popular in tough markets like Madrid, where traditionally Ribera del Duero and Rioja, for example, have dominated. We mentioned before that the Mencia grape used to be associated with the Cabernet Franc, and for many years it was considered practically a fact. But then this piece of fruit was subjected to an intensive genetic analysis, and the result found it to be related to grapes and varieties from Portugal, which makes perfect sense since it's nearby. In any event, it makes a medium body of wine, aromatic, with very good aging potential, though its young versions are also very good and very popular too. Another factor that has helped this wine and the grapes is the large percentage of old vine estates. Plenty of 50 plus year old vines there, and it shows. The DO regulator also allows for some foreign varieties to be used. They can make up to 15% of the wine, so there is room for some diversity, but for the most part, we're really just interested in the Mencias. And I know why. I really like them. I really do, so they're worth it. Mencias are also produced in nearby regions like Valdeorras and Ribeira Sacra. These are in Galicia. But they have their own characteristics, so we'll talk about those on a different day. El Bierzo also makes some very solid white wine, especially with the ever more popular grape Godello, another variety which very few knew about until recently. I've actually been a big fan of Godellos for a long time, but it's taken a while for them to catch on. They're slightly different in this case, just like the Mencias. These Godellos are slightly different from the ones you'd find in Galicia, but they're certainly worth it. As for the prices, well, they've experienced a notable, noticeable increase, at least the modern versions. Some people feel that this is a shame, but this is sort of how this market works. It's the way it is. They can run from reasonable, around 10 to 20 euros, to more exorbitant levels. These new Bierzos are definitely more complex and good for anyone looking for something different. But the supermarket versions are still available, and as I said in the beginning, while probably simpler wines, they do the trick. So don't turn your nose up at them. You could be pleasantly surprised. So there is something there for every budget. So as you can imagine by now, I highly recommend Bierzo wines. I think you'll find that there's something about them that's a little bit different from what you find in a lot of other places. And that'll be all for today. We hope you have enjoyed this podcast by Brian Spain Domain. Please feel free to leave us any comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, we greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. So you can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us on a regular basis, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.